Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
I almost put my headphones on backwards. Oops. Good morning. It is 7:15 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on the last Saturday in March 2019, Saturday, March 30th. I'm Will Stevenson. I was just here at the beginning of the month. What the heck happened? Oh, that's right. There were five Saturdays this month, but that's all right. I am glad to be with you nonetheless. And by the way, it really doesn't matter if I put my headphones on for forwards or backwards, but, you know, one side does say right and the other says left. You know, they should make it foolproof for people like me. Nonetheless, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'll wake up by the time we hit 9 o'clock. Trust me, everything will be fine. We have two really good conversations, though, this hour. In our second hour, about an hour from now, you've been hearing a lot in the news lately about measles once again, as there may be sort of an outbreak of them, at least in some parts of the country. And it has kind of hit Illinois, as there have been some Chicago area, I think, cases that have been in the news lately. And of course, with the discussion about measles has come the discussion about vaccinations and those who think vaccinations are a waste of time and might cause things like autism are probably being proven wrong once again, I think. We're going to talk with Dr. Robert Ayers of OSF St. Mary Medical Center next hour about vaccinations and the measles. And flu is still a problem. We've had, I joke that sometimes that working at a radio station is like working at an infirmary this time of year, because we just pass off illnesses from one person to the other, and I know it's kind of gone through this building. How I've kind of gotten away scot-free without anything, you know, knock on wood, I'll never know, but we'll talk about all that with Dr. Ayers coming up next hour. But first, this hour, I'm pleased to welcome back this morning Lon Dunn, the Executive Director of the United Way of Knox County. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday indeed to you, too. Just because I'm not completely awake yet doesn't mean we can't have a happy Saturday, especially if you know, I can go back to bed and get up around noon later. But nonetheless, glad to have you. How's it going for you?
It's going well. And if you sleep until noon, you'll miss half the fun that's on the schedule for today.
You know, that's a very good point. I failed to realize that. But, you know, sleeping really is for people who have nothing to do. So that's a good point. How's the United Way these days?
We're doing well. We're still plugging along and into some new uncharted territory. Next week we have our first meeting to start an unmet needs committee for mm-hmm. Knox County. And unmet needs is something that, you know, it sounds like a very broad definition, I'm sure. But it's something that some other United Ways are doing. And we actually did a tour down in Adams County of the United Way down in Quincy. Mm-hmm. And their unmet needs committee has been in existence since they experienced some severe flooding back in 1996, I believe.
Yeah.
And it became a vessel for people who were slipping through the cracks to find find some other ways to get some help.
I want to talk more about that as we go along this hour, along with other things you have coming up in the coming months, including a familiar sounding but perhaps brand new fundraiser you're going to be taking part in here. We'll do all that this hour. But here in the first couple of minutes, you're coming up on the 2-year mark, Lon.
Yes, I'm still, I don't know, the shine hasn't worn off of Galesburg at all, though. Yeah. I absolutely love this town.
I'm very glad to hear that. I don't think that sometimes that enough people feel the same way you do, but that's I think that shows that that you've been able to take a look at this town and I think and see what how the United Way can help, and maybe in some as we'll talk about here later, some new and different ways.
Sure. Yeah, I'm all about, you know, finding a solution, and, you know, it doesn't have to be a traditional solution. We can get creative and make sure we help our neighbors and make a good life here.
I imagine you miss home, though. You came from Pennsylvania.
Well, the windy winters here are a little bit.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that the weather here is indicative of how it is every winter, but you've been through more than one winter here now. We'll figure it out eventually, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Excuse me. But so far, it sounds like things are going quite well.
Yes, they are, and trying to get ramped up for my second full summer here, and get ready for summer lunches again,
yeah.
And trying to grow that program and make sure that we're doing a service to the youth in our community.
I know we talked right after you came to town, but you talk about when you first came here. Was it kind of a period of evaluation and to see how you can help, or did you kind of have an idea of what you think you could do coming into Galesburg?
Well, Galesburg had a couple of great initiatives, mm-hmm. that were already doing needs assessment type work. You know, we had the CHMI group, and we had the Heart and Soul group,
yeah.
that were out having meetings in the community and learning about what the needs were and how organizations and residents themselves could help and make this a better place to live, which, I mean, it was already on the right track. Mm-hmm. It just, needed some more steam in the engine. And we were able to take the work that they did, the reporting and the needs that they identified, and create a kind of a roadmap from there for where United Way could fill in some gaps in services. The summer lunch program and now this unmet needs committee are both things that were identified by those groups as ways that we could better serve the community, that I looked at and said, yes, this is something that the United Way can do and deliver some needed services.
I guess I wouldn't necessarily think of, the operation of a United Way being different from area to area, but it sounds like you're saying that maybe just a little bit here that was kind of the case.
Well, United Way has the unique positioning of we are the second most recognizable nonprofit in the world,
yeah.
Second only to the Red Cross. And, so we have that brand recognition, worldwide. However, because we are, rather than being a franchise, we are our own organization that just pays dues to be a member of a larger organization. So the governance is hyper-local. It is literally people that that you see here in town every day that,
yeah.
govern our United Way.
So is it just a matter of, I guess, again, maybe just kind of the needs are different from area to area, and maybe people's ideas of how to meet those needs from area to area are different.
Sure. We have, here in Knox County, we even have a diverse need, depending on where you are. The mm-hmm. needs in Galesburg aren't necessarily the needs in Knoxville, once you get down into Abingdon, you have another set of needs. And so we are mindful of that. And, if we were trying to bring big city solutions to Knox County, we might not have the big city problems that those big city solutions are designed for.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And I guess I don't really think of it that way. And says a guy who went to college in a major metropolitan city, but that's interesting that kind of ends up working out that way for sure. Let's talk about some of those things. And we were just kind of talking maybe in a broader sense about identifying unmet needs and things like that. But as you were just saying, you're forming a committee that will kind of, I guess, put that sort of under a microscope.
Sure. And, the way an unmet needs committee works is it unites the nonprofits and the faith-based community, brings everybody to the table to hear out a case that is presented by a local caseworker. So it might be a Salvation Army social worker. It might be somebody who is, through the health department or something. They will bring the cases before unmet needs. And we will, first of all, make sure that any existing programs have been utilized before any unmet needs funding would be used. So if, for example, if the person is SNAP eligible, we would make sure that they're receiving those benefits. If they have, some other, LIHEAP eligibility or things like that, we're going to make sure that all of the existing systems are used. And then unmet needs is literally for that gap at the end. But the other caveat to that is making sure that whatever need we're meeting, we have to solve the entire issue. And we have to make sure that that person is sustainable, because they're not going to be able to come back. It's not a well that you can easily return to, you know. So it's that hand up, not a hand out.
Is it more than, I guess, maybe educating people about what some of those services are, more so than getting them more help? Or is it it sounds like maybe it's a combination of the two.
It's a combination of the two, and it's also by bringing so many entities to the table. Mm-hmm. The other asset to it is that it prevents the shopping of services. So it stops somebody from going from one agency to the next and then on to the churches to ask for help for the same thing. It gives us all a chance to put our heads together, to really wrap around that family or that individual and get them that boost up and into independence so that they can get out of crisis mode. Because crisis mode is a completely different thought pattern than you or I could understand a logical level. It's just that almost fight or flight type instinct where people are reactive rather than proactive.
You mentioned that you toured Adams County in this regard. One of the areas that I guess we've been thinking about lately in terms of the great flood of 1993 here, and that area was in some ways devastated by flooding then, and then years later they've had issues. We've all, I guess, the whole area has had issues in the intervening years. But talk about that and kind of what led you to say about that, to say that you could do that here?
Well, when we went down to Quincy, we actually attended their unmet needs committee meeting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, seeing the way that it worked, you know, for example, the case that we got to hear that day was a single mom who had been laid off. She fell behind in her rent. She has two small children. She had been called back to work, had some overtime available, but was still trying to catch up on her rent. Mm-hmm. And as they presented her case, it was a matter of, you know, she was, you know, your typical Alice, you know, so asset limited, income constrained, yet employed person who didn't really qualify for any of the, you know, the typical social services. And the case that they brought, you know, before was she can continue to pay her rent, you know, from this day forward, but because of that layoff, she had fallen behind. And they went around the table, and the different organizations then said, okay, well, we could put, you know, $50 into this. You know, her total was about $500 that she was in arrears. And another organization was, oh, well, we can put 80 toward it. And by the time they got around to the table, there was about $120 left. And then that board was able to vote then to take that $120 that they still needed to, you know, to balance it out of the pot, out of the common fund. And so that way, all of the churches knew that she needed maybe a little bit of assistance. They were able to offer what they could. Nobody is obligated to fund anything that they disagree with. So, you know, so it's literally a free will, you know, participation, you know, by the organizations and by the people in need.
I hear a lot about people who end up going to churches, say, for help. It strikes me that it sounds like just what you were saying, that as much as churches want to be able to help, you know, either in or out of their congregations, that they're not maybe in the financial position to really help as much as they would like.
Right. And, you know, that's the other way that churches, though, that come to the table for unmet needs will be able to help, because instead of being financially invested, they can be an advocate for somebody of, hey, this person really, you know, we know them, we are out of funds to help them, but let me tell you, what their situation is. So they can come to the table as an advocate for a family or an individual that's in need. So it's not necessarily purse strings. It's also giving somebody a voice.
What did that do when they worked all that out for this particular person? How did she react?
Didn't get to see that part because they're not present because that that's why the caseworker presents their case.
Okay.
So that it's literally they do have to agree to give their name so that everybody at the table can be sure that it's not somebody. Hey, I gave them X dollars last week for this issue.
So it's not somebody that's just kind of that's trying to beat the system.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. It kind of levels the playing field and brings gets all of the ears to the table, so we're all hearing the who it is that needs the help and what help they're asking for.
I beg your pardon. It sounds like that in any situation like that, it seems like just when you get into a small rut, that can just snowball so quickly, and it's kind of like you're at the maybe this committee is at the bottom of the hill when the snowball stops rolling, I guess, that maybe you can start to melt the snow, I suppose.
Exactly. It is that, and it is designed for, for the ALICE population, for the people that don't necessarily, fit the bill for other help.
In terms of this committee, you were saying you're still in sort of the formative stages of this here?
Yes, our first meeting is Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and I do invite the public to come. We'll be in the Bondi Building Conference Room. If you want to hear what this is all about, you're more than welcome to join us. We do have a number of organizations coming out for it, and I do want the public's input. That's one of the things that I do want to remind people that even though I'm not an elected official, I work for the people of Knox County.
You heard it here first. Lon Dunn is the real mayor of Galesburg. I'm kidding. That's not that is not true at all. Do you still need people to serve on this committee or organizations?
Yes, we are. Like I said, we're still in the formative stages. We have our framework of who we want to make sure, we want to make sure we have the voice of the public here at this meeting and at the table. And as we set, what the exact rules for Knox County, we know what the rules are for Adams County and how theirs operates, but we want to make sure that we make this Knox County specific.
Do you anticipate it being somewhat similar in operation, though? I imagine you probably do.
It will be very similar in operation. It'll be... like I said, giving that hand up, to people that really need it.
All right. And again, that meeting is Tuesday.
Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. in the Bondi Building, in the conference room.
Very good. All right. We need to take a break on that note. It is 7:32. We're talking with Lon Dunn, Executive Director of the United Way of Knox County. We'll talk more about other things going on, ways that you can help your friends and neighbors in the community through food drives and fundraisers and things like that. We'll have all that coming up, but first we'll take a break. We need to get a check of local news with Tyler, and then we'll be back with our conversation here in this hour of Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning.
Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning at 7:37 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Live continues this morning. I'm Will Stevenson. Please do listen to my normal daytime regularly scheduled program, Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. We do a lot of conversations, perhaps in a shorter format than this most of the time, but so it's always good to do Galesburg Live every couple of weeks, as I am. I would say Monday night, by the way, we're going to have the last two of the candidates we haven't been able to talk to yet for Galesburg City Council and Tuesday's election. Yes, it may not be the most attractive, largest election, but it is important for you to get out and vote Tuesday if you haven't voted early. If you live outside of Galesburg, by the way, the Knox County Courthouse will be open today from 9 a.m. till noon for early voting. I'm not sure if City Hall will be open for residents inside Galesburg, but it typically is. But do get out and vote if you haven't done so. And we, of course, will have election coverage Tuesday night once the polls close, starting at 7 here on WGIL. A lot of city council and school board races in the area are contested, and some counties have a couple of referendum questions as well. So no matter where you live, voting is important, and we'll try to bring it all to you Tuesday night here on WGIL. On Galesburg Live this morning, I'm pleased to talk, as always, with Lon Dunn, Executive Director of the United Way of Knox County. We talked a few minutes ago about the formation of a brand new unmet needs committee that will start to meet here on Tuesday, so we can get that ball rolling. I want to move, I know it's a little ways down the road, but I want to get roll the ball all the way to a fundraiser that you're going to start before too long, that I think we've seen in various ways done pretty darn well in various other areas that may be a little bit, I was going to say humiliating, but maybe not so much humiliating, but maybe just fun and maybe something that for the right reasons you can deal with for a little bit. Is that a fair assessment? Did I overstate the case at all?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know, putting a uniquely Knox County spin, because we know we're on the proverbial baseball border here with the Cubs fans and the Cardinals fans, and and luckily I don't follow baseball, so I don't have to have any skin in the game.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one in that regard, but there you go. I realize the airing the Cardinals here helps pay my bills, but I know Cubs fans, so it's okay.
So our fundraiser this year is we're going to do our Knox County spin on flocking, and we are going to allow you to make a donation to United Way and Cub or card your friends and neighbors. So if you make a $25 donation and put in their address, and tell us if you want us to decorate their yard in Cub or Cardinal signage, that will get you 5 signs in their yard. Or if you would like to up your game and make a $50 donation, then we will put 10 signs in their yard. And if you find yourself cubbed or carded for a $20 ransom, we will come and take those out of your yard. Otherwise, they're going to stay up for 5 days.
So. 5 days.
Yes.
Oh, that's 5 days of potential agony right there.
Well, and we are going to start on May 1st. So that'll be as the Cubs and Cardinals are playing one another.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so we're going to hope for some bragging rights and hopefully have a good time. And the way to do that is you can text Cub Card 2019 to 41444, and that brings you up to our form, and you can go ahead and make your donation, put in your I guess victim's address, and or maybe it's somebody that you like that you know they're a Cubs fan and you want to help them cheer the Cubs on. They can, you know, we can cub that yard too. We don't have to be contrary there. You know?
we're equal opportunity offenders here, is
absolutely
what you're saying.
Absolutely. But it is all in good fun, and you know, so if you do find yourself cubbed and carted, you know, and if you don't want the stuff in your yard, you know, please just, we ask that you are nice and stack it to the side or what have you and let us know.
Just leave it in your yard. What's a few days? It's not going to hurt anything, except maybe, you know, yards don't have feelings necessarily. So
no, but we will make sure one of the ways that we'll be able to confirm that donation with the donor is we will be sending them a digital photo of the decoration. So, you know, they may post that on social media.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. Well, best of luck with that. That kind of segues, I think, into a slightly larger discussion I have here. I want to have here in a few minutes before we take a break. In terms of the money that the United Way collects every year through the annual campaigns where you go around to area businesses and things like that, talk about exactly what. Where that money goes and how it's spent. I think as much as we've probably talked about that sort of thing in the past, I'm not sure that people always still understand exactly, you know, how that money truly does help the community.
Well, sure. I would be glad to talk to that. And, you know, each year, well, actually, in the 2 years that I've been here for campaign, our goal has been $350,000. And the first year, we actually exceeded that. This year, we fell a little bit short. However, you know, we came very close. So, you know, it's still nothing to sneeze at. And, you know, that funding stays here in Knox County. Mm-hmm. It goes to help local programs, either ones that we run through United Way, things like 211, the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, and also as of last fall, the Knox County Teen Court. It also helps us to cover the summer lunch program and after-school suppers, you know, so that you know, we can meet those needs in the community. But it also goes to our partner program providers. So it goes to organizations like Fish Food Pantry for, you know, making sure their shelves are stocked. It goes to Salvation Army for some crisis funding for people who find themselves suddenly homeless and meet the program requirements of the Salvation Army. So yeah, it's you know, able to, you know, to help those emergency things. It also goes to fund, you know, some other, you know, other programs, Big Brothers Big Sisters, the, you know, some of it goes for the Red Cross for disaster response. So, you know, if you have a house fire and the Red Cross comes out and helps you and, you know, gets you some hotel vouchers, some cards to replace your toothbrush and toothpaste, you know, those things that you need immediately.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that we're covering, you know, through our funding to the Red Cross. You know, so we're trying to, you know, make sure that we're covering all bases and doing the best we can for the community.
I imagine that's as much as that's the sort of thing you may be used to doing, going to businesses and things like that in the annual campaign. I imagine that must also still be as used to it as somebody may be, sort of a daunting task, right? I mean, you're going to employees of a business who in some cases work pretty hard for their money, if you will. Like, for example, here at Galesburg Radio, our company matches dollar for dollar the contributions employees make every year. And I think that that's the way I think we've always done it. But is that difficult going to those businesses still saying, hey, we really need your help here?
It's never easy to ask somebody to part with their money. It, you know, that's one of the reasons that I feel it's so important to be out in the community doing the work. I, you know, literally like to roll my sleeves up, and you will see me, you know, handing lunches out. You will see me, you know, doing reading buddies. You will, you know, whatever I can do to make sure that people realize that I appreciate every dollar that comes into United Way, and I'm going to make sure that it gets back out into the community and used as effectively as possible.
Talk a little bit about the allocation process. That's got to be awfully, awfully difficult and daunting as well, right?
It's a really tough conversation, and you know, our allocations panels, you know, basically we have four panels that are made up of a minimum of four members of the community. And these aren't just people that are on our board of directors. We actually recruit from our donors so that donors have a say in where their donated funds and, you know, my donated funds and your donated funds go and where they can be put to the best use in the community. And they go out, they visit each agency that has applied for funding. They take a look at the program that they would like to have funded with United Way dollars, and they make sure that it is meeting a need in the community and making sure that the outcomes are, you know, are significant, that we're having an impact.
I imagine too, it must be difficult in that I imagine that the agencies would tend to need more and more help every year, but it's not always easy to give them as much help as they ask for, is it?
It's never, yeah, it's never an easy time as far as when you're working in nonprofit, it's you have to balance doing the work, serving the community, and doing that fundraising and making sure that you can continue to serve the community in the future. And it's not an easy task at all.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's 7:48. This is probably a good point to take our last break here. We're talking with Lon Dunn, Executive Director of the United Way of Knox County. There are a number of ways upcoming. You can help the community and serve the community, and it won't take a whole lot of effort at all. Well, maybe some ways more than others, but we'll talk more about that when we come back. It is coming up on 7:49. This is Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning.
Tune in to Cardinal Baseball tonight as the Redbirds take on Milwaukee. Coverage begins at 5:15.
Follow the Cardinals all season long on WGIL.
It's 7:53 at WGIL. This is Galesburg Live. Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. I'm Will Stevenson, joined by Lon Dunn, Executive Director of the United Way of Knox County this hour. Next hour, Dr. Robert Ayers from OSF St. Mary Medical Center talks about measles and vaccinations and other areas like that. So be sure and stick with us. We have another hour to go after this one. You're getting into, I think I joked with you a couple of weeks ago when we had you on Galesburg's Evening News about the Jump with Jill program that you brought to schools here in Knox County. Maybe I'll ask you once again about that for those who may not know what you did in just a minute. But I think I said that you really don't have a break, do you? There's really no rest for the weary here, is there?
No, when you go from being solely a fundraising United Way to being a community provider, yeah. you do get a year-round schedule, so that campaign is, of course, you're later in the year, but you get to do so many meaningful things throughout the year.
Jump with Jill was one of those that you brought to a couple of schools in the area here a few weeks back, and that has an important message attached to it. Talk a little about that.
Sure. Jump with Jill is the only rock and roll nutrition show, and we had her visit the kids at Mabel Woolsey Elementary in Knoxville and also at Steele Elementary here in Galesburg to talk to the kids about making healthy food choices, making sure that they limit the amount of added sugar to their diet. And trying to make sure they also remember that exercise is an important part of having a healthy life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and we got to see those kids get excited and get up and bounce around, and they really, really got into the show.
I sometimes wonder if those sorts of things in terms of getting through to kids work anymore, but it sounds like that they do.
It really does, and she makes it such a fun show that even though, going into it, I'm sure the kids had never heard any of their songs, yeah. And yet I have dropped in and seen some of the kids that got to see the show, and they remember, some of the songs that, that just kind of, resonate, yeah. Drink enough water and make sure that, fruit is a healthy, food, and, just some of the, the messaging did get through.
Please ignore the fact that there are remnants of an iced coffee sitting next to me right here. But I'll be reminded of that again when we have Dr. Ayers next hour. But you go from one extreme to the other here. But that's fantastic that you were able to do that. Let's we have a few minutes left. Let's talk about what you have coming up, starting with one of the big things the United Ways around the country, I think, are a part of, is the annual food drive that our letter carriers put on.
Yes. May 11th is the Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive, so you will be able to put out your donation of non-perishable food items, put it out at your mailbox that morning, and that's always a Saturday, and the mail carriers then will take the food donations, and United Way volunteers are always needed out at Fish Food Pantry to help receive those donations and get them on the shelves so that they can help our local families in need.
So put that on your calendar now, and make sure you're ready to help with some non-perishables here coming up in just a couple of months. I know that when we do our community food drives around Thanksgiving and Christmas, that food doesn't stay around long. And while folks are always extremely generous in helping us out with that, that need just doesn't stop with the holidays, for sure.
Sure. And, one of the things with the Stamp Out Hunger Drive is it falls, as we're getting, schools starting to wrap up and parents are starting to face that. The same reason that we run the summer lunch program, mm-hmm. is that school's out, there may be a meal that they're not used to having in their grocery bill, added to their grocery bill for a lunch or breakfast. And if they, need a hand up from Fish, they can certainly reach out, and we want Fish to be able to answer that that call.
We talked just a little off air, but I know back when you were with me a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that you were looking at the annual Day of Caring, but maybe doing it a little bit differently this year.
We are. We are moving Day of Caring to June 21st. We are going to start out with breakfast over at Cedar Creek Hall. When you get there for breakfast, you'll be able to bring any electronics that you need to have recycled other than tube-type TVs, because they're not going to take those. But other electronics, the Goodwill will have a truck there. You'll just hand it to the volunteers excuse me, sure, at Cedar Creek, and they'll be able to get that right on the truck. We will also be collecting non-perishable food there for fish and for the Salvation Army food pantry, and have some breakfast, and then go out and volunteer either as an individual or a team. We will have projects that you'll be able to select and go out and help in the community.
Wonderful. All right. I'm short on time, but what else do you have coming up?
Okay. One other thing. Well, later today, we have Blue Ribbons Kids Fest. Actually, it starts at 9 o'clock this morning. And as April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, mm-hmm, we have Center for Youth and Family Solutions, the Child Advocacy Center, OSF, and Loving Bottoms, Safe Harbor. We're all getting together over at Cedar Creek Hall again this morning from 9 to 12 to make sure that you know how to keep your children safe in the community as they're out and about. Mm-hmm. And also then on June 8th will be our Lolita Junk Memorial Golf Outing to support teen court and juvenile justice here in Knox County.
That's wonderful. So keep those items in mind. And as some of these other events come up, we'll be sure and try and get them on our community events page at WGIL.com as well. I'm out of time, but I wanted to ask you, but now that it just jumped into my mind again, the United Way took over in this last year the operation of Knox County Teen Court. How has that gone? And I imagine that was probably a pretty seamless transition, since pretty much nothing about it changed, right, except for the words United Way being added to it.
Of course, Paula Johnson's still at the helm as far as the program director. It has given her the chance, though, to expand her interaction with the area youth, because that now she can drop in on our after-school supper program or drop in, summer lunch program, and actually be a face in the community that, we've taken a lot of that fundraising burden off of Paula so that she can do what she does best, and that is getting kids on the right track.
That can be such a difficult thing when you're a small organization like Teen Court was, having to divide your time perhaps in a totally unbalanced way between fundraising and actually working on the operation of the entity.
Exactly. And, actually one of the things that grades a charity is how much time is spent fundraising and how much time is spent in program delivery. And we look at that as a United Way. And that's actually one of the things that, cause people, with Charity Navigator and other charity rating sites, to lose that grade A status is if they have to put too much time fundraising. So you have to find really effective fundraisers and have very loyal donors. And Paula was excellent as far as she had really loyal donors, people, sure, that believe in Teen Court and understand the benefit to the community of having a juvenile justice program. We're always there to support, but trying to meet those gaps as the overhead increased was just difficult.
How can folks find and get a hold of the United Way if they want to help, or if they want to, more importantly, contribute to the organization?
Well, you can text UWKC4U to 41444, or visit our website, which is www.unitedway-knoxcounty.org.
All right. Lawn Dunn, Executive Director of the United Way of Knox County, thanks for coming in this morning, and thanks for all you do for the community. It's a wonderful thing, and you're working awfully hard at making the United Way here even better.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much. It is 8:01 when we come back in just a few minutes after a check of news, weather, and sports. We'll talk about vaccinations, measles, and the flu with the doctor from OSF St. Mary Medical Center. Stay with us. Galesburg Live continues on WGIL. Thanks for joining us.